Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Carly, Daytime After Dark. We have a very special show tonight because we are interviewing, I'm interviewing, Daytime Royalty. When I say that, people, I totally mean it because it's the truth. And tonight we are interviewing Tom Christopher. He's been on so many great shows. But One Life to Live, Carl Heston, Loving at the Night, all of that. And so please welcome Tom. Hi.
Hi, Carly. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yep, you're coming
okay.
In great.
Good.
I have a little
miles
bond
away
with
in
you.
3,000 miles away in New York. It's dark out.
Oh,
it's
9
o'clock.
Oh, I love New York.
Yeah,
I'm in
city.
Seattle. I love New York. When I was little, I always watched you on Guiding Light as Carl Hester, and then, you were brilliant. But you scared me when I was little.
Thank you. One Life to Live was a great show. The late producer, Paul Rausch, was the executive producer, and he really created the character. I mean, I was only in there for one show with the late Pat Elliott. And when they called my agent and said, we'd like him to come in for one day and do these scenes with her from their past as ex-lovers in Las Vegas. And I was like very fortunate because I said, I'll pay them to work with Pat. She was an incredible actress, a beautiful, beautiful human being, a Tony Award winner for Little Night Music. And we did our scenes, and we had a wonderful time, and they were good. Really had a great time. And the next day, my agent got a call from Paul, and they said, we'd like him to come back and just walk across the back of the bar. And I said, that's a very expensive walk. And so they said, you just walk. We just want to see you in the background looking at she and Phil Carey, and that started it. That was all Paul Rausch, who was a brilliant producer, a great man. He died about 2 years ago. And,
it was very unfortunate. When I read that he passed away, I was actually in shock. I'm like, he did so many soaps, and I didn't know he did One Life to Live. I know he did, As the Ratoons and Guiding Light. I never knew he did One Life to Live.
Right, and then when he went to Guiding Light, he created a character called Dax, Colonel Dax, and I went over there to play Dax for off and on for about 3 or 4 years. So it was a great relationship, and it doesn't happen too often that it becomes so close. And so really creatively productive. But he knew the business like no one. No one knew as a producer what he knew.
He wrote your character so amazingly well. And you and Tanya Walker together was really, I will say, hot. I had on Tanya. She's been playing Olivia on the new hospital for the past couple of months. But I always thought you and Tanya Walker together on One Life to Live was really hot.
Oh,
and
she's wonderful
good.
To work with. Have you had Tanya on your show? You've had Tanya on your show?
Yes, I've had her on a couple of months back, and she was such a sweetheart, and she was, so sweet, and she loved working with you, too, because we talked about it. And the,
yeah, she was.
You know, yeah, we talked about you. But don't worry, it was all
good. Oh. Did she say good things?
Oh, yeah, because, like I think you owe daytime loyalty, even though I know you haven't been in the game lately. But for all those years, for me, you owe daytime loyalty because, I mean, you got a character that was good, evil. You know, sometimes people didn't know what Carlo Hester could do. I mean, okay, when I was little, you
and the writers. The writers were also, the writers were very good to Tanya and myself and the situations they put us, the storylines. And we just had a wonderful time when I was playing Mortimer and Carlo. So playing the two characters, she's an incredible actress to work with. I always say, if you're doing a scene with Tanya Walker, now Tanya Walker Davidson, you're doing a scene with her, and if it doesn't work, it's your fault.
Why? Well, I mean, you know, yes, kind of, sometimes.
Because she is she's right there for you. She's very, very focused. And part of our joy of working together, and, you know, particularly with Paul, if we went off and forgot a line or something, but the scene was working, he just let it keep running. He would say, keep it going. In the control room to the you know, the director, the cameraman, he'd say, keep it going, just stay with them, they'll get out of it. And we were able to do this. It's only happened to me twice really in my career, where there's just absolute actor trust back and forth.
Well, I mean, I've heard that, you know, in the past that, you know, but nowadays, yeah, they might not let you get away with that, but I think, you know, Paul was right to let you guys do it because you need to have it seen organically, you know, on the soap. And, you know, even because you guys know your characters, you know, like the back of your head, even though I know every character ever. But, you know, I just like that when the scene comes and you forget a line, but you can, you know, make up another one and everything. I thought that was awesome, and I always wanted to know. Okay, so you were a mob boss, and I find mob stories and all that. I love mob stories and action. When you came on, you know, you were a little, you know, bad guy. And how was that, knowing that, you know, you were this great character that came in, but, you know, you were in the mob and all that, and then, you know, how was that when, that was, you know, the time where some of the mob storyline on soaps came up. How did you like that, you know, being a character with the mob?
Being a character with the mob, you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you played it really well.
That's what was so good about the writing, that they gave the character many different levels to play at. When I was first on with Paul in the first year, he had given me a son and a daughter. And that, giving it a family relationship, was really very, very exciting and very beautiful. Anthony Crivello played my son.
Okay.
And Anthony is just finished doing a show in the Midwest, a big, big, big one-man show. About a football coach. It's a biographical thing. We're still in touch. And, of course, he won a Tony for Kiss of the Spider Woman about 20 years ago on Broadway.
Well, yeah, I don't know him, but I know what you... Yeah.
Oh, he's, if ever you can get him on the show, he's wonderful.
Oh.
And not only he sings like, you know, he did Phantom. He was doing Phantom in, he played and sang the Phantom in Las Vegas for 2 years, 3 years. And, he was really, he was really incredible. And he's a beautiful guy to work with and a beautiful human being. And we also had a, you know, very, very good working relationship on camera, father and son. So that was, again, Paul's doing. And Audrey Landers played my daughter. And
that's right, she did.
Yes, and she was just, she's as lovely as she looks. Did you see Audrey in the film version of Chorus Line?
Yeah, oh yeah, she was really good. She was amazing.
Yeah, she's a hard worker. And again, there too, the chemistry was nice between the three of us. And that was, again, Paul's doing. Paul Rausch and the writers working together. So I was really blessed and very fortunate with Carlo, with Mortimer, and then with Colonel Dax at Guiding Light with Paul. Paul had a great affinity for theater actors. He really, and his wife, who is the, you know, famous pianist at Israel and Margalit, the Israeli pianist, is also a very, very accomplished writer. And she wrote a play while I was on Guiding Light, and it was produced off-Broadway, and it was a wonderful experience. And it was called Night Blooming Jasmine, and it took place in Israel between the Palestinian-Israeli situation. And the character she created for me was so incredible, the father, because I played the young Jewish soldier's father, and I was a colonel in the Israeli army. And then, within the play, I'd come back as the young Palestinian girl's father, who was politically involved in the Palestinians. And it was playing these two roles, and it was just wonderful. It's a lovely play. It's called Night Blooming Jasmine. And there was a revival about it 2 years ago, which I didn't see, but Israela had produced it off-Broadway. We did it about 20 years ago.
Wow. That
it was really
is amazing.
Very exciting.
That is really amazing. And, yeah, you're right. But, you know, Paul Abraham of Guiding Light and One Life to Live, he did amazingly great work. I mean, you know, no one will ever be like him again, but it was just, you know, I mean, you know, Guiding Light was incredible to us, even though,
yes,
you know, I had
it was a great cast.
Well, I had a flip.
Everybody on it was really just a lovely group of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've interviewed a couple of them. The Guiding Light, and I mean, all of them are amazing, still amazing, you know, and that's why it's so sad to only have, folks soaps left. I mean, it, for me, it's...
Yeah, all the soaps now are on the West Coast, right? They're all on the West Coast.
And, you know, I mean, I would love to see you back on soaps, like, I mean... I would love it because I think, you know, daytime really needs you. Number one.
That's very sweet of you to say. Yeah, if it ever, you know, if anything ever came up, I'd certainly go out on the coast and do it. Frank Valentini, who produced in the later years of One Life to Live, and he really was tutored by Paul because Frank, at a very young age, came in and was a production assistant, then became an assistant floor manager, then an associate producer, and then executive producer. And he's very, very good. And what he's, you know, done with General Hospital is lovely.
Oh, did you ever just turn it on and watch it? Because You know, I really thought you were on dental hospital too the other day. I'm like, wait, but I was wrong and you were not. Even though I think you would be so great on dental hospital, and you, I mean, you
well,
would
thank
be
you.
Great on, you know, any of the four remaining board, YNL, and Dave, but, you know, and this seemed like, you know, when Guiding Light at the Wood Tunes and One Life for Living, all my children got cancer, the fans were scared. We were scared that, you know, we were going to lose all of them. And, yes, I do blame the Ozzy effect on this because that was a hard time for, you know, people to wash their soaps, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning before TiVo. Before TiVo and DVR, then, you know, came up. And
yeah,
I
and there's, you know, there's still an audience for it. It's not as great an audience as there was, but there is, you know, still an audience for it. And there's a lot of talent out there. It's hard work. I had many friends who I've worked with in theater who, when they came on the show, said, I don't think I've ever worked this hard in my life. And they were only on for 2 or 3 days. And it is extremely, extremely demanding. And it's not like making a movie or doing a play insofar as the energy goes, because it's all compressed into one day. There were days on One Life to Live where we would do 3 different shows in one day. So it was, and the crews were just incredible. I mean, these guys at ABC were just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. The lighting crew,
well, yeah,
the tech crew.
I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, the West Coast is great having soaps, but there was something about the East Coast, too. And, you know, when you were on Loving all those years ago, how was that? Because that was another really good role for you on there as Dante.
I had a very good time with it again because I was playing 2 characters and I had a very good time with it. And ABC was very good to me. They trusted me with what I would do, and it was pretty outlandish, but I had a good time on Loving, and it was a good show. It was a good show, but it really One Life for me was a big turning point, because I went into it, I had already, you know, had my stage career working and a lot of television, a lot of nighttime television. I had done a series. So I was coming in with having done a lot, and suddenly to be doing this soap every day was a great, great difference, great difference. Doing a soap is like doing a low-budget feature, a small, low-budget feature, 2.5 times a week. That's how I always made the analogy. To a small film, 2.5 times a week, you're doing that. So,
well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I always hear about it because, and I always wanted to know, and you're the first guest I ever had that had played dual roles, and I always wanted to know, when you're playing 2 different characters, and I'm being funny, but I'm not, does that mean you get paid twice if you're doing, like, 2 characters, or do you only get paid once? Because I think they still pay you per character.
No, they pay you once. They pay you once. And it was always very fair. No, so it was always very fair. There was no problem. No problem with that. And, no, they don't need them. They pay you just once.
Well, I mean, I always wanted to know that because I just, you know, watching all these, you know, like, I mean, you were really good with One Life to Live when you had seen with Vicky, Eric Slazak. You guys were really good on the show together, and you know, she had like 5 personalities, so I always was like, you know, trying to figure that math in my head. But now that you tell me, you only get paid once, even though
that's right.
Still don't think that's fair. But you know,
that would be with any. I have never heard of any actor in film or on stage, and I've played, you know, in plays I've done, I've played 3 characters in one play. They only pay you once. I take that back. In theater, if you come in, there's an increase they'll give you if you're doing more than one character, but it's nominal. I don't know what it is today. This was a long time ago when I was doing it. But in film and television, they don't do that. I've never heard of it.
Well, yeah, that would
get very expensive.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was, you know, always wondering and that. And you were on a bunch of really good primetime shows, but I loved it when you did thing of Law and Order. One of my favorite shows. I have to watch, you know, I'm into all those courts and medical dramas. You were amazing
Law and
on that.
The Law and Order? Yeah. Again, that is a great show to work. Every actor, I hope, gets a crack at it. They have it down to a wonderful pace. It's beautifully produced. It's the writing, and I've done all 3 of them. And each experience was very, very positive.
Well, yeah, so when you go from a soap to like a primetime show like Law and Order, are the days like almost the same? Like, for like primetime shows, is it as long as, like, if you were doing like One Life to Live? Oh, is it like really so do in a day for you guys can do your scene and get out? Or does it take a really long time, you know, like Law and Order?
I'm sorry. I don't understand. What is the question?
Well, what I mean is, like, on a soap you do, like, I don't know, 15 hours a day sometimes, you know, in the past.
Right.
And then when you do the primetime shows, like Law and Order, are they about the same, like, work-wise, like, hour-wise?
No, they don't go that long. They don't go that long. They'll, most of the time, what they'll do is it's called a call. You'll have a late call during the day because if you know you're going to be shooting at night, so you're not getting into overtime and too much overtime. Now, on the soap, when I first went on, and Paul Rausch, the audience reaction was very strong to Carlo, and everyone seemed to be liking what I was doing. And you have to keep in mind that I came in with being bald, being 50 years old plus, and it's the first time that they had this kind of heavy, erotic, sexual relationship going on, like Tanya and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not, they weren't young, and we weren't young, and I didn't have a full head of hair, and it's suddenly this older couple as lovers, and what they're doing, which got kinky. So as someone said, you're the first sadomasochistic couple in daytime television. And that's what was so wonderful to work with Tanya, because she was just always so full of fun and incredible, as I said, incredible energy and focus, both she and Pat. When I got my Emmy, I remember I said, I was just a reflection, and I said it publicly, and I mean it to this day, years later, I was only a reflection of how good they were. And the two of them made me look good. And I mean that sincerely. I know what I'm doing and I know how good I am, but they really made me look good. And but getting back to when I first started, I was there. My first show, that show I talked about with Pat and myself, was the Christmas New Year's week of 1989 to 1990. So I came back for that walk across the back of the bar. Then that was like the day after New Year's, I believe.
Really? And, wow.
And then, so I'm in 1990, and that, and I was working heavily on the show 3-4 times a week. And then Paul came to me one day on the set and asked, would I consider signing a contract because the writers want to do something really, really big with this character? And I said, yes. Wonderful. Thought about it. I said, definitely. And I started working in mid-March until March of the following year, 1991. I worked every day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And there were days we were doing 15, 16 hours, as you say. But the point of my whole story is that you would start then at 7 in the morning blocking rehearsal in just a rehearsal hall before you went upstairs on the set to work with the set, the cameraman. Then you'd go and have your break, which was a half hour. And you'd then go to makeup and everything else and then get ready to tape. Now, they do it differently now, but it was, I'm going back to when my involvement started, 1990, and I worked that full year every day. It was very exciting, very exhausting, but very exciting. So,
it was. I mean, my grandfather, when you said about you being 50 and whatever, he loved your character. He passed away, but he loved it. And, you know, and I looked at him, I'm like, please, I go, Grandpa, please, don't get any Carlo Hesser ideas or we're going to both be in trouble. And he goes, I won't. And, you know, yeah, you know, he will. But, you know, grandparents, you know, that's the reason. Love you and Tanya Walker together and love that.
Ah, that's very nice.
You know, it doesn't stop at, you know, 30 or 20 to get on a soap. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, you said later in your career, but I feel like when someone's later in their career is probably the best time to do it because, you know, for working on a soap, you don't have to really, you know, leave, you know, to go on a location for a movie or do whatever. You can actually be at your house after, you know, you're done working. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I always, you know, hear from, you know, a lot of, you know, people. And so have you lived in New York this whole time? Oh, have you been other places?
I'm sorry, say that. What is that again?
Yeah, you say you're in New York right now. So have you lived there, like, for, like, all your life?
New York?
Or,
Have I lived in New York? Oh, yes, I was born and raised here. Yeah, I was born and raised on the East Coast and went to Performing Arts High School and the Neighborhood Playhouse and Ithaca College. It's the only thing I've ever wanted to do was to act. And New York, it was perfect. Performing Arts High School is now LaGuardia High School. but I was there in the 1950s, a long time ago, and it was a wonderful, there was the only public arts school, not music and art, which was also there, and many years later, music and art and performing arts came together to form LaGuardia, what is now LaGuardia, but that was in the 1960s. But performing arts had a theater department, acting department, a dance department where some of the most brilliant dancers in America came from, and music department, and a photography department. And it was unheard of. It was only 500 students in the whole school, and it was on a building that is still there, that is now the Jacqueline O'Kennedy Onassis School of Diplomatic Studies on 46th Street in New York City. And it's right in the heart of the theater district. So it was very exciting. It was very exciting. I was only 14 years old when I started.
Wow, because, yeah, the reason why I asked you the New York question, so were you there, like, on 9/11? Because I've spoke to a lot of actors from the East Coast, and they told me how crazy that day was. And, yeah, I was just wondering what, you know, if you were there when that happened.
That, I'm sorry, if I would want...
For 9/11, were you in New York when 9/11
Yes,
happened?
My God. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Yep, I was there. It was terrible. It was horrible. It was horrible. I was very, very ill when it hit that morning. But a neighbor in the apartment building next door was collecting. I just remember I had pneumonia, and I was confined to bed. I was in bad shape, and my wife gathered all of my shoes and boots and work boots and rain boots and everything, and put them in a suitcase for the next door neighbor, who kept going down and bringing things to the fire department once, the fire department. And it was just frightening.
No.
It never leaves you. And I was just at the memorial about a week ago. I had an audition at a studio that is maybe two blocks away. And it's suddenly everything gets quiet. You just stand there looking at it, and if ever you come, have you been here to New York to see it yet?
Yes. Yeah, I came a year after. Yeah, we were there, and we saw Will. It was before the memorial, so we saw, everything, and it was just, I've only been to New York one time, but I fell in love with it. But I have a couple of friends in daytime that, always tell me, I hear stories about, people were supposed to take off that morning, and for some reason, thankfully they didn't, because they would have been on a flight. And so it was, and when I woke up, because the friend who's a reporter just called me and told me to turn on the TV at 7 in the morning. And I am not a morning person. People know that. And I go, because he didn't tell me why, he just told me to go turn on the TV. At first, I thought I was watching like a Spider-Man, like a commercial or something, because, they went to break, and when they came back, I saw the second plane crash in, and then I knew at that moment we were in trouble. We were going to be at war in the matter of minutes, so days, and it just, the U.S. had never thought anything like that could ever happen, and
yeah,
the things about now. I mean, you know,
it makes you think.
About,
it makes you know. It, yeah, it, it makes.
Yeah, it
makes you
does.
Really look inside. It makes you really look inside of yourself, and particularly
well,
where
yeah,
your country is right now.
Exactly, and yeah, I mean, I was just curious because you know you. But I'm sorry you had pneumonia. I mean, I hear that is really horrible to have. You know, and you know, just remember, getting you pneumonia, thought people that maybe you won't have it. That's but oh, also, you were on the edge of night. I didn't realize that you were on that. So too.
Well, what made gave my heart a little rest was that about a year later, on Guiding Light, again through Paul and Mickey Dwyer Dobbins, who was in charge of, because it was a Procter & Gamble show, and she was head of daytime for Procter & Gamble, and I asked them, I told them I wanted to do a benefit show, cabaret, in memory of the firemen from a local firehouse there in the city, and for the Firemen's Retirement Association. And it was really quite beautiful. I was very proud of it. And we did it at a dinner club, did three shows in one night. It was just this one Monday night, because I knew everyone would be off theater, and each show was sold out. And it was nice. We made, you know, close to $10,000, and it's a small venue, but everyone was just wonderful, just wonderful, and generous with their time, the talent that came in to sing, and it was really very. And people volunteered, the lights, and you paid a set price. And that all went to the Firemen's Retirement Association. And it was really, that was in 1992, I believe. No, it had to be later.
No,
you know, it was
in
2000. What am I saying? 2000, yeah, 2000. What am I saying? That was in 2002. Yeah, we did that, and we were all in tears. Everyone was in tears. The firemen that came, they were our guests from the organization, and they came with their wives and their friends, and it was really quite beautiful. But it pulls you back to your senses, and you make yourself think about life and the fragility of it. So it's not something you forget at all. Listen, my dear.
Oh,
I have to get back. I have to get back downstairs now.
Oh, okay.
Did you want
really quick? Can you take two really quick phone calls?
I'm sorry. What's that, dear?
Oh yeah. Can you take like two fan calls really quick?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Okay,
please.
Okay,
what do I
yeah.
just hold
it? Three, but yeah, it will be. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Hi, Bobby. Bob?
It's Bobby.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby.
I really
Tom
enjoyed...
Christopher.
Hey,
Tom.
Tom
Christopher
how are you
here.
Doing? Yeah.
I'm good, sir.
Right. I really enjoyed you working with Lisa Lowe, who is now, I forgot, not the singer, the one that's now living on General Hospital, that when you was two worked together on One Life to Live and Loving.
When
Lisa.
Tanya Walker?
No,
I
no,
mean,
not Tanya. Not the other Olivia. The good Olivia.
Lisa, oh, Lisa Cecile?
Yeah.
Who played the, is that who you're talking about, Bob?
Yeah, that Lisa, and because I know you worked together on One Life to Live back about 6-7 years ago, about maybe not, no, I'll take that back, about 13-14 years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to, Bobby, I'm sorry, I don't know who you're talking to. I'm trying to think who went over from.
I know that she, when you came back to One Life to Live, and she, back in 2004, 2005, I think I remember. I can't remember what year it was.
Yeah, it was about that, right, because the last time I was there was 2008.
Right.
But.
Because I think Lisa at the time was on the show. And of course, now of course she's on General Hospital, but what was it like working with her, and what was it like working with Laura Wright and Amelia High on Loving and the City at back in the day?
Yeah, well, the Loving cast it because it was such a, it was in a sense a small show, but the writers. Again, it always goes back to the writing. The writing was so good on Loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a great character. And everyone I worked with, we were all wonderful. Catherine Hicklin and I worked heavily on Loving.
Right.
Do you remember Catherine Hicklin?
Yeah, I know. That.
Oh, yeah. She's so nice.
Right. And I know you worked with two Emmy-winning great lead actress, Emilia Hyde, who's now Victoria on Young and Restless, and, of course, Laura Wright, who's now on General Hospital as Carl.
Yeah, Laura, of course. Yeah, Laura was, yes, Laura. Laura was like a little girl when I first met her. She's a beauty.
Oh.
She's a beauty. She's a wonderful woman.
Yes.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's the reason why she got all those Soap Opera Digest and Emmy Awards, because she didn't get that way because she had bad lines or fans hated her. That's for sure. Because she is pretty popular even now. But listen, I know you're pretty busy tonight, but I just wanted to just get a chance to talk to you, and I wish you all good luck. And
Bobby.
That's
Bobby,
very nice of you, Bobby.
You.
I thank you.
Yep, and the character you guys were talking about was Sonia Toledo.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who she played on One Life to Live. I just wish I could have called in a year ago to talk to Lisa and just see if she could have helped.
That's the one Bobby
yeah.
was talking about when
yeah.
Carlos and Sonia, you know, you had a couple of scenes with her. I mean, so yeah, that's who we were. I'm talking
yeah.
about. Okay, Bobby,
okay.
I will put you on hold.
All right, and you have a great night, and maybe, well, I might see you in General Hospital once again if they bring back Tanya as Olivia.
they should bring her back, and they should create a role for her. She's a great lady.
Yeah. Well,
great lady.
I
hope you get a chance to meet her. I hope she's on again
tonight.
that you can meet her.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you, Bobby. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold. Hey, David, what's your question?
Hi, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good, and who are you?
I'm David. David?
David?
Yes. I want to say
okay, David, what's your question, David?
I'm a big Buck Rogers fan. What was it like working on that show, Big Buck Rogers?
Oh, the Hawk, yes. That was a great character.
Yes.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?
Oh, yes, all the time. That was my favorite show. I still watch it.
It was a very, very good show. I mean, it was just 12 weeks, but I had 12 glorious weeks on professional life with that. And that, again, was the executive producer. I seem to be blessed with great executive producers. John Mantley, who is now deceased, he created the idea of the Hawk.
Yeah.
And he just let me run with it. Yeah, it was wonderful. And that was a heavy workload for everybody involved, Gil and Aaron, and remember Dr. Goodfellow, Wilford Hyde
yeah.
White, the English actor?
Yes.
Yeah, he and I stayed close until his death
wow.
years ago. Yeah, he and I stayed, we became just great friends because his knowledge of the theater was so incredible and the things that he did. So we, every chance we had to have dinner together or lunch, we did it, and then when my wife would fly in from New York while I was shooting, the three of us would spend Saturday night at dinner, and when I think of the show, I think of him, because he was so wonderful.
Yeah.
And but the character of the Hawk was very special and very tender to me. I love the Hawk.
Yeah, great show.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Did you believe that he was real for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love it though. So yeah, you were good though. You were good, Catherine too. You were good, Catherine too. You know. What was Phil Carey like? You were filming Erica Tivet.
I'm sorry, David. What's up?
Erica Tivet, like with Phil Carey and Erica Tivet. What would they like to work with?
I'm sorry, I don't get the. What was it like to work with
Erica Slezak and Asa?
Phil Carey.
Phil Carey. He wanted to know how was working with both of them.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting the question. I can't understand
your
question.
Well,
I'm sorry.
He wanted to know what it was like working with Asa on One Life to Live.
And Big Phil Carey?
Yeah.
How was it to work with Phil Carey?
Yep.
Phil was all the. I've been very, very fortunate in the people that. I've had a good relationship with everyone I've worked with, and they've all been very professional. And Phil was great. We had a great time together. And we loved to argue. That was the nice thing about it. And I knew, and I think he got a kick out of the fact that I was older in the company, and I knew his whole film career. Phil Carey had a very, very successful film career from the 1940s on. So, I mean, you look at him on television and suddenly you see this 6'2". He was very, very handsome looking. I mean, it was like scary, beautiful looking. If you see any of the Navy Army films he made when he was a sailor or a soldier, and he's very, very good.
Yeah.
But he was a nice guy to work with. Nice guy to work with.
I saw him in BD.
Hale and
Hardy.
Okay,
I'm glad you, Dave. I'm glad you enjoyed the Hawk. Thank you.
Okay, Dave. I'm gonna put Maggie on really quick, or she will kill me. Hey,
I'm
Maggie.
You got me. Hello. You got me.
Hey, Maggie.
Me.
Hello.
Maggie.
Yeah.
Ryan. I love Tom Christopher. And to me, his greatest was Carlo Hessar.
Somebody else is on the phone. I'm sorry. Who is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, Maggie, the host. Maggie, what's your question?
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say I'm wanting to talk to you because I love Carlo Hessar. I always understood him.
That's very nice. I loved him, too. It was a lot of fun. Tell me, what's your name?
Maggie Dolphin. I'm one of the hosts with Carly on the show. And I'm thrilled that you're on with us tonight.
I'm just so glad you enjoyed the show. Thank you. Weren't the actors on it, though? The actors on it were all very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the girl's name you were looking for earlier was Lisa LoCicero. Yeah, it was the actress's real name.
That David was talking. Okay, I don't. You know, I don't. I didn't work with Lisa.
Loving, I believe.
Loving.
Lisa.
I don't think.
There was Lisa. Oh my God, short, dark haired.
Right.
Yes.
Forgive me. I don't think it was. Lisa. Oh. I was just talking about her about a month ago. Somebody asked me something because she was lovely. She lived in New Jersey, I think. And Lisa, but not. She's not on General Hospital now, is she?
Yes.
Oh, yes,
she is.
Yes,
she's
right.
Mother.
Well, Lisa, we're thinking of two different. Yeah, we're thinking of two different things. Lisa and I didn't work on One Life to Live together.
No, I think I love him.
Okay, David was wrong. Like, But
we're all wrong, right?
Well, yeah.
But wonderful.
But,
I love you. I hope you come back. I need more time.
Yes.
That's
and,
very, very
yeah,
sweet
and,
of you. Thank you so much.
And,
have a wonderful
yep.
summer. You hear? And
you
take
too.
And take
and Tom
and take care.
Yep, and Tom, please link in me, email me, and let me know if you get another project, and we would love to promote it on Daytime After Dark.
Of course. Listen, thank you so much. I'm glad we had a time, you know, to spend
oh,
together.
Oh, yeah. And,
you've been very, very gracious. Thank you.
Oh,
take
yeah.
care.
Now,
thank you. And have a
Carly,
great Friday night and weekend.
And you too, Carly. And thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello,
okay. Thank
Carly?
You. Thank you. David,
Carly,
are you there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you unmuted me before
I'm
you brought Maggie on.
Oh, I know. I would, but you know, and you guys, I'm sorry. You know, he was the talking, and I looked at the clock, and I'm like, whoops. So from now
That's
on,
okay.
one of you. Well, I'm doing interviews. Needs to boss the clock for me.
I was.
Okay, yeah, that's Maggie's job. and okay, so
thank you.
Tuesday night, Morgan will be back on with us. He had an emergency.
Morgan who?
Oh, Morgan. Oh, yeah, you were not there Friday night. Morgan England, you know, he was on the
just,
show.
He was on Just
Dynamite. Yeah.
Back.
So.
He's causing to my son.
Yep. So he will be back on Tuesday night at 6. And then I will figure out when Nicholas will be on. Nicholas Walker will be on the show. And we are not going to have much of a soap thing because, you know, if you can tell by my voice, Mom, can you tell?
Yes, I can tell.
Yeah.
Please, everybody, root for my bully.
You know,
yeah,
I know
yes, please.
To the game a few minutes and switching back
and
forth. In the top over who the Bears going to pick earlier. But I don't know how much time we have left, if I can just go over my Charlotte trip. If not, I can wait till next Friday.
Oh, yeah, no, do it, Willie. Really. Yeah,
please
go for it, Bobby.
Okay, anyways, I just wanted to say I had fun meeting these stars of days. And I'll tell you, if you ever meet the real Eric, who is Brady, he is very, very funny. I'm glad that Dave decided to pair him with another very funny and sweet person like Ariana Zucker.
Wow.
I mean, I admit she might be leaving soon if she's haven't left already, but at least let it last. And as long as they don't do anything to her, like put Nicole in prison or kill her off, and if Xander has his way, it might end up being a little bit sooner than I would expect, but I hope not.
They are not going to screw that up, Bobby. They are not... they're gonna leave the door open.
Okay.
Better.
I mean, I know because I have a few possible candidates, like bring back Tamara Brown to not only play Ava, but also play Nicole, but play actually both of Ava for.
No, I want her back.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I love Ari.
Me too.
But,
and you know,
it was also very sweet, and we got a chance to do a lip sync battle together, to a rap song. So
wait, who?
Nalia Bordeaux, and the one that's having a baby in real life,
Chloe.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, Chloe, I don't like.
Nadia,
I don't like Chloe.
Defense myself that Holly belongs to her. I'll tell you why I yelled out to Billy Flynn before I met him. I said, quote, Abigail belongs to with Chad. So he was
No.
Abigail
belonged with Gabby. Gabby.
No.
Mom, help me.
Help you? Yes. We would like
be on my
Gabby.
Side.
Yeah, we would like Gabby with Chad. And I love Dario.
Yeah,
I love
Dario. I do want to say that
with the Abby.
But is it just me, or isn't Lonnie, the actress of Claire, going to an unfamiliar world to what we saw her when she made her debut on All My Children a few years ago when it was on Hulu, playing an undercover prostitute? Because I saw maybe the writers of the day didn't take notes watching the All My Children reboot on Hulu and just saw what they were doing when they filmed this week's scenes, because it seems like this is deja vu for the actress.
Exactly.
I thought the same thing.
I mean, I don't know if the writers took notes by watching that on watching her clip on YouTube and said, okay, we'll just put her into a scene to make her into an undercover hooker or what.
That's the same way I'm glad that Gina is leaving,
but you'll never see this on under Ron's watch, especially if they have shortened down the thing to 6 weeks and 6 months. You will never saw this hit Ron that took over that then. Because he said to myself, he would have been saying, well, I'm recycling the same thing that Sal did on All My Children when she first came on the scene.
Bobby, that's not the same actress.
It is.
I know. And she's doing the exact same thing we saw her with Cassandra that we saw earlier this week on the show. With Dina, I don't know if she watched All My Children and just thought to recreate some of the moments from that show. It obviously didn't work, or something else. But that's something that might be interesting. That I think maybe Ron can look up.
All My Children.
Yeah, because she's a former American Top Model contestant. If I remember, she was on the same year that Eva from Young the Restless was on there. It might have been a couple of years later. I don't remember because I never watched Top Model. But I enjoyed talking with them. I got some great photos. Even though I tried my best to take a selfie with Billy Flynn, but I was too damn selfie inclined that I ended up getting pictures of our chests with the shirts on. So that was my fault because I'm not used to working with a selfie. With a selfie stick, so I just kind of was just taking pictures different ways and blurred, so I deleted that. But I have some pictures on my Facebook page if you're willing enough to check it out and like it and comment and stuff like that. But I will plan when I get a chance to go to Twitter and just tweet out, come on to the show and stuff like that. I just didn't have a chance at the event itself because of a lot of people.
Well, and you know, I mean, Bobby, you know that I love Eric. I love Brady on. Brady is the one that I would sleep with. If I was on Days of Our Life, heck, if I did my whole, who would I want, you know, on the deserted island? Yes, Eric Mainsoff is on my list. So, you know, I have a list now. But
well,
I just want to say before...
I'm sorry, how do you always refer to Christoph St. Charles, your TV husband? Well, I guess Nadia or the Chloe is my
TV
wife.
You know
now.
What?
Oh.
Okay, you know
wife.
What? Do not give me more trouble than I'm already am. Yes. You know what? Yes, Christoph is my TV husband. But my TV husband hasn't liked my treat or favored my treat in a while. So my TV husband is in the doghouse.
Technically, I'm just more like
right, guys.
With
I gotta go yell at the TV.
I'm torn between Laura Wright and Nadia.
Wait, Mom, why did you?
Who I really like.
Oh, fun.
I gotta go yell at the TV.
You do.
My
boss.
Okay,
fun.
Love
you,
you guys.
Do.
Good night.
Okay, Mom, I will. Okay. You guys, Bobby, I need you to do a favor for me this weekend.
All right, I'll make sure I do that because I still got to catch up with Dave from yesterday. And
no,
today.
No. I need you to do me a favor. Okay, you know, I do not like sitting on my computer for like 2 hours and watch the Emmys this week. And because, you know, my back will kill me for it later. So is there any way you can do it and text me and let me know about Laura and my TV husband and and Laura and like all let me know.
Right. Well, I'm gonna be rooting for Laura Wright, but I'm gonna also be rooting for Christina and as much as you hate her, I'm gonna be rooting for Nella. Know the Winders Awards, and I'm also going to be rooting for Kate Massey. But however,
okay, I never said I didn't like her. I
know.
Don't
I mean,
like
the actress
the
is good.
Okay,
the
so stop.
Is awful. But
you're
going to
get me in so much trouble one day, Bobby.
Sorry.
But no, I just want to say
going back to the daytime
to my husband, TV
right.
husband Christoph, if you don't bring home the Emmy. I will be pissed, and I will have to go to L.A. and rectify this problem. And good luck to all
the
winners. Yeah, Bobby, I'm not done.
Okay.
We won with James Winners. Good luck. He's been a great friend to the show. You know, I really want him. I really want Christoph to win. I really want Steve to win. You know, I mean, there's so many people. I hope Lexi, you know, but I will say this. Next Emmy year, Mo better be getting an Emmy nod. Oh, this the whole thing is six.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's
the name.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the
you know,
name.
Well, you know what, Carly? I'll just probably be on Twitter all night just watching the results go by and having people complain about it. But if Nancy and Lexi doesn't win their daytime Emmys and it goes to somebody besides...
Honey?
Okay.
Bobby, hold on.
Well, the last time that Lexi was nominated for a daytime Emmy, Nancy wasn't too happy about it. I wasn't too happy. The fans of Christina wasn't too happy about it because they gave it to an actress that wasn't even playing a role on All My Children at the time and haven't been heard from since.
Really?
Yeah, Whitney Allen.
Ooh.
All right, hold on. Guys, I want to, I'm looking at something before we hang up really quick. Keep talking.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not too sure if I'm going to be able to watch it live on the computer. I'm probably going to try to maybe just catch up with the tweets and, if possible, come Monday morning, just congratulate the winners by Twitter and later in the week by regular mail. So I'm
okay,
so I might not have...
Bobby, okay, so hold on, Bobby. I'm looking at something. Okay, I click. Okay, Bobby, you cannot do what you think. Okay, for outstanding lead actress, Lisa, Nancy, and Laura are in the same category.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay,
say,
you need to vote for Laura.
Well, you know what? I told you earlier in the week on Twitter or maybe by text, it's Team Laura Wright. That's all I got to say. I mean, I don't care if Nancy wins another Emmy or Lexi wins her Emmy or Chloe wins her Emmy. The only thing I'm more concerned about seeing from Nancy with tweets is what Donald Trump had done over the weekend during his first 100 days or if we bombed the you-know-what out of North Korea come Monday morning. That's all I want to
see
from that.
Okay, Bobby, don't say that because... Okay, and the outstanding lead actor, you know, is Peter, Scott Clifton, Billy Flynn, Vincent, Christoph. So Christoph needs a winner. My house is going to be broken. For outstanding lead actress, is ex Patty from YNO. Vivian from Bode. Finola, Anna, and Kay Messias Abigail, and Kelly Sullivan Sage. I hope Kelly Sullivan takes it. Okay, and outstanding in the supporting actor is Don Aniston, Steve Burton, Sadu Zafui, Vincent Pierre, and James Reynolds. And so in the younger actors is Eli Lexi, and Nicole from B&B, Huntu, Chloe, and Faith from YNL, and outstanding actors, Morgan from The Eights, Thomas from B&B, Zoe from Days, TJ from General Hospital, and all the
Brian Quay
was on General Hospital, not Days.
Yep, and for Days of Alive, outstanding special guest performance is Toby Bell, Don Harvey, Monica Weber, and Lucille Winters, who I want to win, Christoph's mom for the day, and yes, and I won the game show host. I really won Celebrity, Family Feud, and yeah, so yeah, so but you guys, yeah, okay, you guys have a great weekend.
We'll be back on
Tuesday.
Well, I'll text you during the weekend and let you know what's going on. But I don't think I'll be able to watch the Emmys. But like I said, we'll watch Twitter very carefully and tweet out to the stars Monday morning when they win and write them later on. But in the meantime, you all have a good weekend. Good night.
Bye, Clyde. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.